各位法师，各位菩萨，大家早安，阿弥陀佛。
Good morning, everyone.
你们知道今天要讲座的题目是什么吗
？Do you know what's the topic of today's talk?
那你们认识圣严师父吗？
认识。
好，调查一下，在这里跟师父超过40年的菩萨，请举手。太多了，好。
Do you all know Master Shen Yan? Please raise your hand if you have known him for over 40 years.
40 years, yeah. OK. 那30年的。
Please raise your hand if you know Shen for 30 years.
30年的 ,OK. 然后20年的。
20 years.
然后10年的。
How about 10 years?
五年的
，five years，
一年的
，one year，
师父离开之后才开始认识他的。
Please raise your hand if you only know 师父 after he passed away.
OK， 好，那师父有几本书哈、哦，介绍到他自己，
so,
一本是《归程》，有看过的请举手。
So、there are a few books talks about 师父's life. One is named、Return Journey, 归程 in Chinese. Please raise your hand if you've read it, this book.
Okay, 好，然后圣严法师的学师历程。
Another book is Master Shen Yan's academic journey and the journey of his practice.
Okay, 然后还有雪中足迹。
And another famous one, the footprint in the snow.
Okay.然后最后一部是圣严法师七十年谱。
The last book is a Master Shen Yan's chronicle for 70 years.
那看来有一大部分人都没有把这四本书看完，所以你们今天来对了。
So it seems quite a few of you haven't read all four books, so you made the right choice to come here.
因为今天要讲的内容是把这四本书，还有这四本书之外跟师父生命有关的故事，把它浓缩。
Because today's talk, we're going to cover the essence of all four books and also some stories, anecdotes related to 师父's life.
好的，那我们就接着今天介绍方式会比较是用这种编年史的方式，就是以时间轴为主，然后以一些特殊事件来向大家介绍师父。
So today's talk, we're going to go through 师父's life year by year from his early life to the very end.
那这里面在师父小时候的相片是用示意的图，因为师父的图在小时候的图在战争之中都流失了，所以我是用示意。但是师父在成为小沙弥之后的所有相片都是真的。
So please note that all the pictures I put here on the slides, for 师父's childhood, those pictures was just for illustrative purpose, were not real, because all 师父's childhood pictures were lost during the war. But the pictures after 师父 became novice are all real 师父 pictures.
所以要问大家，心中的师父是师父吗
？So, perhaps I should ask, is the 师父 in your mind, the real 师父？
哦，那师父他在1931年的1月22号出生。这里有谁年纪比师父大的吗？
So, 师父 was born on January 22nd, 1931. Anyone here who is older than 师父, please raise your hand.
哦，还没有。那师父是哪里的人？江苏的人。哦，那师父的爸爸是在师父是在他爸爸41岁，然后他妈妈42岁的时候出生。那一家呢？有八口人，有三个哥哥，两个姐姐，还有一个姐姐没有长大。那师父的排行最小，那因为是早产，身体非常瘦弱，所以生下来的时候比一只老鼠还大，但比一只小猫还小啊。
So do you know where 师父 is from? Yes, 师父 is from Jiangsu province in China. And when Shiva was born, his father was 41 years old and his mother was 42 years old. Shifu's family, Shiva has three older brothers and two older sisters, and one sister didn't grow up and passed away. And Shiva was the youngest. And when Shiva was born, he was born premature, so he was rather small. He was only a little bigger than a rat, but about the same size than a kitten.
师父诞生那一年，在中国也发生了一件大事，是918事变。
And the year that Shifu was born, there was a big incident happened in China. That was the 918th incident.
这是师父的爸爸，他的名字叫张选才。
So this is a picture of Shifu's father. His name is 张选才。
那我们从地图来看一下，这个是在江苏的位置。
So this is a map of China, and you can see where Jiangsu province locate.
有谁跟师父同乡吗？这里。
Please raise your hand if you are from Jiangsu.
一个。
Only me.
哦，蔡老师也是江苏。好，那这是江苏的更放大的地方。师父的祖先原本居住在这个沙洲上，崇明岛。因为大水的关系，那大水一来，整个沙洲都淹没，所以师父他就搬到他们父亲这一辈搬到这个南通的这个小凉港。
So this is enlarged picture of the region of Jiangsu area. The red, the green bulb you can see that was Shifu's ancestor, where Shifu's ancestor lived. And because of the flood and the changing course of a river, Shifu's family moved to Nantong Xiaoniang Harbor, which was the pink bulb indicate.
那这是师父在最早一次回到大陆的时候所留下来的这个相片，这是在小凉港附近，但他家已经是全部都更换了，物是人非了。
This is a picture from Shifu's hometown near Xiaoniang Harbor in Nantong. This picture was taken when Shifu first went back to China.
那师父出生一岁的时候遇到九一八事变，然后接着在两岁的时候又遇到长江的大泛滥，又把他的出生地怎么样，又淹没了一次。那同时在这个时候的这个满洲国成立。
So in the year of 1931, Shifu was born, and also the incident, historic incident of 918th incident happened. And then the next year, there was a flood in Yangtze River, and the place Shifu was, the hometown was covered by water. And the next year, 1932, Manchu State was established.
那我们从地图上再看，师父他们家从这个被淹没的这个地方，搬到对岸，江的这个对岸，是长寿的这个长阴沙的这个地方。
So from the map, you could see, Shifu moved across the river, because the place he was born was covered by flood already. So his family moved to Changshu County.
那这里可以看到上海，上海是在师父居住的这个右下方的地方。那师父在出家之后，因为他们在上海，有一个分寺院下院，叫做这个大圣寺住圣寺，所以师父他有一段时间他是跑到上海来，那以及他在成为沙弥，然后跟他的老师请求说希望读书的时候，静安佛学院也在上海，所以这张图大概显示了师父在年少时期的这个往返的两个地方。
And also, you can notice there Shanghai indicated in the map, which is in the lower right-hand corner. Shifu, after Shifu became novice, he stayed in a Great Zen Temple for a while, and he also pursued Buddhist studies there in Shanghai. So this map shows where Shifu commute in different places.
那师父他们因为家是被大水淹没之后才搬家的嘛，所以有什么家好搬的？也没什么好搬的嘛，又被冲走了。那因为什么东西都没有，所以再到这个江边的南部，就江南之后，他们租了七亩地，然后就用简单只剩下稻草，用这个稻草茅草，然后搭了三间草屋，那一边做佃农，然后一边也打散工，然后维持一家的温饱。
So you can see Shifu's family moved because of everything, their house, belongings all washed away by flood. So they moved involuntarily. There's really not much to move. After they moved to across the river, they rent a crop fields to work and build some cottage to live.
那这是当时候淹水的状况哦，几乎只剩下一些比较高的树，其他就几乎都看不到了。所以这是师父的出生条件，其实非常的困苦。
So this picture shows the flood of Yangtze River. So you can see there's not much left other than the tall trees. So the condition Shifu was born into is quite harsh.
那到师父六岁的时候，他还不会讲话。也不会走路啊，因为什么？妈妈在42岁的时候生下他，所以已经没有奶水。那没有奶水要怎么喂小 baby？ 就只剩下糖水跟这个米浆啊，所以营养非常的不足。那因为这个样子，所以到六岁才会走路跟讲话。
So Shifu can't talk until he was 6 years old because when Shifu was born, his mother was already 42 years old. She didn't have breast milk anymore. So Shifu was not fed with breast milk. He was fed with sugar water and rice water.
那因为年纪很小，那家中又没有钱，所以师父的每一件衣服都不是新的。然后怎么样？年纪虽然小，但是知道为什么要给我穿旧的。那跟妈妈讲说，为什么我要穿新的这样子？那师父的妈妈就跟他讲说，这个呢是新剪的、新裁的、新缝的、新做的，所以都是新的。只要看起来干净，穿起来暖和，那个就是新的。
Because Shifu was the youngest in the family.So his mother often gave him the clothes of his older brothers and sisters. So those are old clothes. Even though Shifu was young, he knew those were old clothing. So he wanted something new. But his mother said, well, this is also new because I newly washed and newly tailored for you. And as long as it's warm and clean, it is new.
这个对师父的影响很大，因为在禅期的时候，如果念佛念佛，跟师父抱怨说，阿弥陀佛念过来是阿弥陀，念过去也是阿弥陀，就只有这句可以念，然后数息，就只有一二三四五六七，一二三四五六七，就跟师父抱怨，师父就跟大家讲，每一句佛号都是新的，每一口呼吸都是新的。
So, Shifu Mother's words, have great impact, great influence on Shifu because later on his life, when Shifu was leading retreats, a retreatant complained to Shifu that counting breaths or chanting Amitabha Buddha was so boring because, do it again and again. And Shifu said, well, every breath, every chanting is new, is a new beginning.
师父在八岁的时候，长江再次大水，而且黄河同时也大水，影响了中国400多万个人，3个省。然后在这个时候，师父看到了什么？水患的威力，看到了这个除了留下屋顶之外，男人、女人、小孩的尸体，还有猫啊、狗啊、猪啊、羊啊。 就在这样哦，长江上面飘来飘去。
And when Shi Fu was 8 years old, Yangtze River had flood again, and so was the Yellow River, and it caused 4 million people lost their homes and became homeless, and millions of people died. The bodies of people, animals floating around, and was bad smell.
那师父八岁一年，发生了七七事变。
And then when Shifu was 8 years old, there was another incident called July 7th incident happened in Chinese history.
爆发七七事变之后，日军就大举的怎么样，进入到中国的领土范围。那师父说那个比坐大水还恐怖。
And after July 7th incident, Japan began invading China on large scale. And Shifu said that was even worse, even more miserable than floods.
但师父他们在这么艰苦的情况底下，因为是住在乡下，那日军主要侵略的地方是在城市，那所以住在市区的这一些，我们刚才看到哦，右下角住在上海的这些亲戚怎么样？就跑到乡村来避难，那师父他们家的这个三间巢就变成这个什么哦，这些清理的这个避难所。
Well, because the Japanese invasion mainly happened in the city, so Shifu's relatives, family relatives in city, all came to take refuge in the countryside where Shifu's family lives.
那同时在这个时候，因为哥哥姐姐都已经成年哦，那年纪哦都可以帮忙哦赚更多的钱，所以家中的这个收入稍微多一点，那师父成为全家的第一个能够去读书的人。那小时候的学的这个乳名叫做宝康，因为身体不健康，那父母把他取名宝康，希望他能够怎么样长保健康，然后可以怎么样读书之后给了一个学名有志必得，叫志德。
Because at that time, Shifu's older siblings have become adult, have grown up, so they could work to help the family. So Shifu became the only family member who could go to school. And before, Shifu's name was Stay Healthy.Because Shifu was so weak when he was born, so they gave him the first name, wishing him stay for healthy forever. And then when he went to school, he had another name at school. It was called for virtues and aiming for obtaining virtues.
那同时在师父开始读书那一年发生了南京大屠杀。那在这个南京这一带呢其实同时间也发生了一件很伟大的事情，因为栖霞寺的这个方丈吉丹法师以及他的弟子呢在大屠杀的时候整个寺院这个门户大开，然后救济难民。在这期间统计出来的这两位法师救济了24000多名这个难民。
And during that time, during 1937 to 1938, it also in history, there's also the Nanjing massacre happened, the fall of Nanjing. And another great event should be mentioned is.The abbot of Xixia Temple in Nanjing saved a lot of refugees. They opened the door of the temple to refugees and saved about 24,000 refugees at that time.
师父十岁的时候，读书读了一年之后，因为老师怎么样，事情很繁忙，而且是属于这种不是儿童心理的这个教育的训练背景出来的，所以对学生的要求就是把书背一背，然后回来念给老师听。那师父就觉得 很无聊，所以开始了他生命之中的第一次逃学。
And when Shifu turned 10 years old, after a year, he started school. Because at that time, the teacher was busy and did not pay attention to children and dedicate to teaching. Shifu found the school was quite boring, and he started to skip school.
逃学逃多了之后就被妈妈发现了。那妈妈非常的生气，也非常的难过，我打了他，然后跟他讲说，全家呢用这个血汗钱送你去读书。那讲的是家乡话，所以望你这个怎么样上天啊，想不到你竟然怎么样入地。
And because Shifu often skip school and go play outside, eventually he ran into his mother. His mother was quite angry and feel sad at the same time. He was tearing up and trembling with her hand and saying, well, the whole family spent money on you to send you to school. And we have high hopes for you, but you end up doing this. And we want you to go to heaven, but you come down to the ground.
那在读书期间，哦，其实学校的哦，师父连这个好的衣服穿也没有，然后学校的一本书，哦，就算一本练习写字的这个册子，师父的家也没有办法负担得起。那有一年，师父就看到二姐，哦，藏了好几年的这个压岁钱，哦，那藏了之后被师父发现，结果怎么样？就把压岁钱拿去买这个什么写字的本子，那结果被二姐发现。然后又被妈妈打了一次，打完之后怎么样？三个人抱在一起，痛哭。
Even though Shifu went to school, his family was still quite poor, so they couldn't afford buying textbooks or practice books at school. So one year, in order to buy textbook, Shifu took the money from his older sisters. And the old sister had been saving that money for a while. After discovered by his mother beaten him up. And after that, his older sister, his mother, and Shifu all hugged together and crying.
那这是师父的买东西买不到的状况。那他们家呢？他们家甚至怎么样，连过年要拜拜的这个香跟蜡烛也都买不起。但是师父从他的父母从来没有怎么样，喊过苦喊过穷，甚至怎么样，当他们知道邻居的家的状况比他们更差的时候，他们宁可自己怎么样，先把食物留下来留给邻居，然后自己怎么样挨饿一顿。那这样的一种这种宽待邻居的一种胸怀，事实上也影响师父非常的深远。
So, Shifu's family was poor, and sometimes they can't even afford buying incense for Chinese New Year to make offerings. But Shifu's parents never complained or cried out for help. Instead, actually, when their neighbor need help,They even went starving, save food for their neighbors. So this type of attitude, this type of virtues, greatly affected Shifu.
那有一次，这个师父跟他爸爸到江边，然后看到怎么样，一群鸭子在这个长江上游啊游啊，然后他爸爸就讲了一句话，怎么样？大鸭游出大陆。小鸭游出小路，然后看看师父，不游就没有路。
So one time, Shifu's father and Shifu were walking along the river, and they saw a big duck, and followed by a group of ducklings. And Shifu's father said, "Look, they are swimming. So if you swim, you will always find a path. But if you don't swim, there will be no path."
他家里的贫穷的一种状态， 师父自己接受这个现实内心一直有一个愿望希望怎么样长大了之后要赚很多很多的钱怎么样给家里面用，然后希望妈妈从此就不需要再说穷了。师父他回想起来说，他一直记着这个愿望，可是怎么样一直没有兑现。但一直没有兑现的情况底下，师父让他升华用奉献自己给一切众生的这样的一种事迹行仪，然后借由此来怎么样表达父母的感恩以及怀念这个才是叫做真正的发愿跟还愿。
Because Shifu's family was so poor, they often don't have enough clothing, food, or money to educate school and send children to school. So Shifu made a vow saying, when I grow up, I'm going to make a lot of money so to give to my mom, so my mother don't need to say we're poor. Shifu said he always remembered this vow. Unfortunately, there wasn't a chance that he could make this come true to his mother. But instead, he decided to make offerings to all sentient beings, honoring his parents by helping all people that are in need. This is truly what it means making great vows and make good on your vows.
从此之后师父怎么样在这个学校里面他不再逃学，而且开始产生了这个读书的兴趣所以这个时候的师父他开始怎么样整个人变成了是非常的上进以及好学，因为他看清楚了如果没有努力那怎么样一辈子只能种田。
So after that incident, when she was 11 years old, he started to become really interested in studying, learning, going to school, because he realized if he doesn't study hard, there's no hope, and then he will also just be a farmer forever.
那读书的这个需求越来越大，那这个家乡里面的私塾就是这些简单的这些环境没有办法满足师父的需求，所以他跟家里要求希望能够到城市里面去上正式的小学。但因为从家乡来从乡下来，结果到正式的小学之后年纪又小身体又瘦弱，结果自然遭受到什么霸凌欺负。
Because Shifu desired to go to school, his parents have to send him to a formal elementary school in the city. And because Shifu was small and rather weak, and because he's from the countryside, of course he's often bullied by other classmates.
那在这个新的小学读书不到一年之后怎么样？这一年又因为这个收获欠缺，所以又没有钱可以读书了。然后大哥二哥因为长得更大，所以可以跑到更远的地方去做工。然后师父每天就跟他爸爸怎么样去到这一个新生地就是这个江在淹没之后他会跑出新的陆地去筑堤。那师父就在这个时候什么打杂啦帮忙啊也是怎么样希望能够多为家里面赚一点钱，然后能够早点回到学校。
So after a year, one year after Shifu started the formal elementary school in the city, unfortunately his family became lack of money again, so Shifu had to drop out. And at that time, his oldest brother and second oldest brother has already become grown up, and they can went even further, go away to work to make money. And Shifu followed his father to the new land where people were building embankment. So Shifu was helping and trying to make some money as well, so he could go back to school sooner.
然后师父还被分派一份工作，就是到田里面捡动物的什么粪便，那捡完之后回去做肥料，然后还要去什么剪草， 那草剪完之后分两堆，一堆是要煮的，一堆是不用煮的。煮完之后的可以喂猪，不用煮的直接喂羊。
So, other than helping build up the embankment, 师父 also was assigned some farmer work to do in the crop field. He needs to pick up the feces. Is that called feces of the animals? And then he also need to pick up weeds. Some dry weeds, they can feed the pigs and or other need to feed the lamb, another goat.
到十四岁那一年，因为去年大家非常的努力，然后农作物也丰收了，所以又可以开始继续读书。又变成这个情况，要让师父更加努力，所以是什么？用非常优异的成绩，大概是第一名，毕业。那毕业之后怎么样？得到的奖励是这个进入新学校的所有的新课本。可是这些课本后来没有用到，没有。最终师父的这个小时候的教育就在他14岁的时候就停止了。
So when 师父 was 14 years old, because the family had some money, saved up some money again, so 师父 could go back to the fourth grade to continue his study. Because 师父 at that time knew that he need to study very hard, so he really did it.And graduated with the top grades. So in order to encourage or incentivize Shifu to continue his study, the school gave Shifu some prize with the next year's textbooks. But Shifu unfortunately never had a chance to use them because Shifu dropped out again. So his formal schooling ended up at his fourth grade.
就在这个时候其实师父的母亲也了解到师父的这个状况。那前面提到师父是他们家里面唯一一个读书的小朋友，那母亲就开始在做一个抉择，如果这个小孩子他养不起，但他又那么喜欢读书，那他没机会读书的时候就只能跟他们一起做工作田。所以这个时候师父的母亲里面就想，是不是有机会能够改变师父的这个环境。那这个环境第一个条件是什么？不是出家，是出嫁。是什么？这个隔壁县城有一个比较有钱的人家，但是他们家有一个女儿，可这女儿怎么样？是哑巴，不会说话。那如果师父呢过去等于是入赘过去的话，他的钱怎么样？会情况会好一点。可是师父的妈妈就想到了，如果这一个媳妇她不会说话，那两个人未来要怎么沟通？所以怎么样？他妈妈把这件事情怎么样？打消念头。
So at that time, 师父's mother also understood that 师父was a very talented child, and he's very interested in pursuing study. But unfortunately, Shifu's family is quite poor at that time, and they couldn't afford sending Shifu to school anymore. So they were wondering what could they do to help Shifu fulfill his dreams. So at that time, actually becoming monastic was not the first choice. The first opportunity encountered by Shifu's family was there was relatively rich neighbor nearby that has a daughter who can talk with some disease. So one choice Shifu's family could do is actually send Shifu to that family, eventually will become that daughter's husband and when they grow up. But Shifu's mother was wondering, well, if the girl can talk, how can they communicate with each other as a couple?
所以做了另外一个决定。那刚好这个邻居跟这个附近的寺院这个狼山的寺庙的法师是认识的，那也正在找什么？找小沙弥所以委托给这个邻居。那邻居呢想一想之后，大概只有谁的家里最适合？ 哦，就是张家最适合啊。所以啊，有一次啊，元年的夏天啊，下着大雨啊，下着大雨，然后这个邻居就跑到什么啊，跑到师父的家里面去什么躲雨啊，这个是剧情安排，谁家不躲要躲到他家，这样才有话可以讲嘛。哦，那就提起了这件事情。那我们刚才看到那个地图是在江的对岸，那江的对岸可以远望看到这一个寺院的什么塔啊。那师父没去过，所以小时候就认为那边有住着什么啊神仙啊。所以邻居这样提的时候，师父的第一个念头并没有想到出家，并不了解什么叫出家，只觉得可以去什么当神仙了，所以很快的就怎么样答应。
So second opportunity came up when Shifu's neighbor called Dai Hanqing. One day there was pouring outside, and just like what happened, usually what happens in a novel or in a movie, that neighbor happened to take the shelter of the rain at Shifu's in Shifu's house. And they started chatting with Shifu's mom, because that neighbor knew the temple nearby actually looking for a novice, and the abbot, the monastics in that temple asked that neighbor Dai to help to pick a select a child can become this novice. So this neighbor Dai was wondering, who would be the good candidate? Must be, Zhang family Zhang, they probably have a good candidate. And from Shifu's house, they could overlook the mountain and the tower, the temple on the mountain. Although Shifu have no concept of what means become monastic, he felt all the god prodigy, all the good spirits lived in the temple of the mountain. So he thought he was going to become this immortal being as well.
那问完了师父的这个深沉凝月之后，就再次的回到狼山去。那经过什么？半年之后，邻居再次出现在师父的家门口，就说山上的法师呢，把这个八字配了一配之后呢，发现师父是适合在这里出家的，所以就等于什么，这一次就准备来带人了，要带回到狼山去。那妈妈当时候想说，这个随口提的，结果小朋友是很高兴要去，可是母亲是怎么样，很伤心的，因为即将怎么样把自己的小孩子送走，可是面对现实的状况，妈妈也不能够多说什么。
So neighbor Dai got Shifu's birth date in Chinese calendar and then went back to that temple. The monks in the temple checked Shifu's birth date and decided it was a good fit. So the neighbor Dai came back with good news and would ask Shifu to go with him to the temple. Shifu's mom actually mentioned it briefly or casually. She didn't imagine this will become true. So at that time, she felt quite sad, and she didn't want to let Shifu go. But facing the reality, she didn't even have a choice. But Shifu was quite happy to go.
这是我们看到，这从远方可以看到这个什么？蓝山的寺庙，然后寺庙的什么塔，这是小时候的师父对蓝山的一个什么梦想。
So this is a picture of the Wolf Hill in Nantong, where you can see there's a tower on top of the hill. This is the picture that Shifu envisioned about Wolf Hill when he was young.
那师父的师父帮他剃兔的叫做广教寺法聚庵的莲堂上人，然后大概师父的师父没有受到很多的教育，所以由师父的师父的师父朗慧上人帮师父取名叫做长进。
So The monk who shaved Shifu's head was called Fa Ju En Tang Lin. That's his name. Maybe he didn't get much education because he didn't give Shifu's name. Shifu's Dharma name was given by his Shifu called Master Lang Hui. And Shifu's Dharma name at the time was called Chang Jing.
师父秋天去，那冬天的时候妈妈就怎么样？啊，过了两三个月，想去看看师父在山上过得好不好？哦，然后就上山去。那看完之后，师父的妈妈觉得，师父在这里怎么样？啊，确实过得比在家里面好，就很放心的下山。然后下山的时候，师父陪他妈妈到这个邻近的，哦，因为他姐姐嫁到那边去，陪他到。这个姐姐家里面也探视一下姐姐，那这个时候她的外甥女怎么样啊？大概抓了很多只跳蚤，呵呵，啊，那师父就教她的这个什么跳蚤要把它放生。
So 师父 went to the wolf hill during the fall, and during that winter, his mother came to visit 师父 and checked how he was doing there.And after staying a night and feeling that Shifu was doing well, his mother was on her way back. And Shifu accompanied his mother on her way home. They stopped nearby town and visited Shifu's older sister. And also Shifu taught his niece how to release flea.
那师父在狼山的生活其实是非常的忙碌除了怎么样每天要做早晚课之外还要扣钟击鼓。那扣钟击鼓是比早晚课怎么样更早跟更晚。所以起得要比别人更早睡得要比别人更晚然后还要帮老和尚洗衣服然后要煮饭然后到这个夜壶所有的事情怎么样在他15岁那年全部都要学会。
So Shifu's life at Wolf Hill Temple actually is quite busy because other than daily recitation, striking bells, he also need to doing all the housework, washing, cooking, and everything doing for the monks. He had to learn at the age of 15 years old.And because he was responsible for striking bells, so that means he will get up earlier than anyone else and go to bed later than anyone else.
在寺院里面做这个早晚课，古时候的这个课诵本经本其实是珍贵的，所以多半的老和尚不会让小沙弥怎么样，像我们这个做晚课的时候每人一本，小沙弥没有机会怎么。去碰到这个课诵本，那最好的方式是什么？背起来，这么厚。刚才有菩萨讲背楞严经背了半年，背楞严咒背了半年还背不起来，但师父在什么？三个月之内要把这么厚的一本禅门日诵，里面当然包含楞严经、楞严咒，全部要把它背完。他师父遇到一个困难，这么厚怎么背，而且他的学历只有什么国小四年级是很辛苦的。那师父的师父就跟他讲，你要像什么像观世音菩萨求智慧啊，那怎么求拜观音啊那师父听了就好，那就拜观音。所以他每天在除了起得更早之外去拜拜，每天还要怎么样睡得更晚那每天多少拜师父教他这个至少要拜两百拜，那师父就想说多拜就有保佑嘛，所以怎么样自己乘以 2.5 每天拜500拜。
So unlike nowadays we have easy access to copies of sutras, mantras. At that time it is considered very precious to have a copy of daily recitation of chant practice. So as a novice, Shifu wouldn't be able to get a copy of what they need to recite every day. So what could they do when they were asked to memorize by heart? But it's such a big book, such a thick book. And I was chatting with some volunteers. They were saying that it's even hard, it's hard to memorize Sharagama mantra in 6 months because it's such a long mantra. But at that time, she was asked to memorize the entire thick book of daily recitation for Chan school. So how could he do that? His master said, well, then you have, if you can't do that, you have to seek wisdom from Guanyin Bodhisattva. Then how do you seek wisdom from Guanyin Bodhisattva? Well, you have to prostrate daily. And how much do I have to prostrate? Shifu's master instructed the Shifu doing 200 prostrations daily. But Shifu was very diligent. He said, well, just to make sure I can get wisdom, so I'll do 500 prostrations every day to Guanyin Bodhisattva.
那拜了之后，拜了三个月，师父的这个怎么样？哦，整个头脑变得非常的清楚，然后整本课诵本也背起来。那同时这个寺院哦也蛮好的，就怎么样，请了两个老师，一个教师父在基础的国文哦，让他深入；另外一个是怎么样，为他解释这个什么课诵的内容。也在这个时候哦，师父在15岁的时候，他领略到。原来这个经文这么好的内容其实怎么样是给人用的而不是什么不给活人用的
So after prostrating 500 times per day in 3 months Shifu started to feel his mind is very clear and it's much easier to memorize all the mantras and sutras and the temple was also very good. They hired 2 teachers to teach Shifu explain to Shifu the meanings of the daily recitation, what those sutras and sutra mantras mean. And for the very first time in Shifu's life, he realized actually those sutras have meanings and those sutras not just for doing rituals for dead people, they are actually addressing to people that are still alive.
所以这个愿望哦就其实影响到师父的这以后的这一条路。所以师父讲出了一句话就是什么佛法这么好结果怎么样知道的人这么少然后怎么样误解的却是这么多这是师父在15岁的时候的一个体验然后自此也依照这个愿望一直不断的去努力
So because of that experience, Shifu realized when he was 15 years old that Dharma was so good but so few people understand it and so many people misunderstand it So he gave rise to that vow that he is going to dedicate his life to promote Dharma, to let more people understand it.
那在师父18岁的那一年有一个非常好的因缘是这个玉梅法师。那玉梅法师是蓝山师父的这个寺院的一个邻居的一个法师。那因为他在静安寺当了佛学院，所以他帮忙师父对他的师父以及师公说情，因为他了解师父一个是一个特别的小和尚小沙弥，他努力上进而且有善根，所以希望师父能够怎么样受到更好的教育，而不是什么不是只在寺院里面怎么样感精忏。
So when Shifu was 18 years old, there was a great opportunity because in the neighboring temple there was a master called Yu Mei, and he got to know Shifu and realized Shifu has very good roots, and he also became the director of the Buddhist Academy of Jing'an Temple. So he wanted Shifu to get a better education, not just to become. Not just a monk that doing the rituals for dead people.
那在当时候你要考佛学院是要通过这个测试的。 师父的师公这个朗会上人帮师父怎么样预测题目这个我的志愿谢谢然后要师父怎么样就把这一篇文章背熟了然后去什么去参加考试这样子结果考试的题目是什么我对佛教将来我对佛教的将来所以师父也是怎么样硬着头皮去把什么我的志愿背完
So at that time, if you want to enroll in Buddhist Academy or enter into that study, you have to take exam. So at that time, Master Lang Hui made an essay for Shifu. The title was My Vow, so My Aspirations. But when Shifu was taking the exam, the title was different. It was My Vision.Of Buddhism's future. Nevertheless, Shifu still memorized the essay prepared by Master Lang Hui and passed the exam.
那无论如何，师父考上了。
So no matter what, Shifu passed the exam.
那师父进去的时候怎么样？有的人是已经三十多岁，师父。那时候是17岁而且程度只有国小四年级所以其实师父在回忆到说他在那个时候其实非常的痛苦这个最初的两三个月每天都打算怎么样退学
So at that time 师父was 17 years old and the people attending the Buddhist Academy, their age varies, and some are already over 30 years old. And Shifu only received formal education of the fourth grade, so it was very difficult for him to follow their study. And for the first two or three months, Shifu was quite miserable and almost want to drop out.
那在最后师父用第一名的这个成绩怎么样毕业可是因为师父在当时候因为没有受具足戒所以不能当这个金刚上师所以毕业证书不能写师父第一名所以把师父写了第三名
But afterwards 师父 studied very hard and graduated first actually But because Shifu hadn't received full ordination at that time, in the certificate of graduation, they couldn't say Shifu graduated first, so they gave Shifu the third place.
哦，接着在1948年的时候，整个南京的局势就沦陷了。那沦陷之后呢，其实寺院也都被军队占据，然后。因为非常的动荡不安所以师父必须怎么样有所抉择那当时候的一个绝大多数的方式就是来到台湾那师父其实身上也没有钱连坐船的钱都没有所以没有办法向别的人提早 搭船逃难到台湾唯一的方式就是什么当兵可是师父已经想好了当兵什么兵会用到枪什么兵会用到炮做一个选择想一想之后最后决定什么通讯兵因为通讯兵怎么样只要发射无线电不用拿枪也不用拿炮就代表什么不会杀生
So in 1948 the history the civil war between in China hasreached its high point and Nanjing already taken over by the communists. So at that time, Shifu had to make a choice how to leave mainland China. And a lot of people, if they have money, they can buy a ticket to go to Taiwan. But Shifu didn't have that money. So the only choice for him was being enlisted in the army. And at that time, Shifu carefully considered the opportunity and which kind of group he should join so he can avoid killing people. So he decided to become a telecommunication officer because in that way he only send or receiving signals. He wouldn't harm any lives.
那师父在当兵的这十年的生涯里面，他始终还是维持一个出家人的一个生活习惯，所以别人放假可能去怎么样？哦，喝酒寻欢。而师父的放假是什么？哦，老是跑到寺院里面去。那在1958年的那一年，他跑到这个什么？刚才我们讲到月基法师，就是这个栖霞寺的两位法师之一。月基法师当时在高雄佛教堂刚升座不久，刚进入到这间寺院不久。那同时林元老和尚也从基隆来这里什么，因为他这个来祝贺这个月基法师的升座。所以师父跟林元老和尚，因为他们知道师父也是一个出家人，所以就把师父跟林元老和尚放在同样一个房间。那林元老和尚他是什么？他睡觉是什么？不躺下来的。那老和尚不躺下来，小和尚可以躺下来吗？当然不可以哦。那看到老和尚这样子，师父就把他的所有的问题怎么样一直持续不断的去问老和尚。师父问的问题其实很实际。我应该结婚吗？我应该继续当军人吗？我应该怎么样怎么样怎样，所有的问题就一直问把师父当时能想到的所有的问题都持续的问那老和尚只是怎么样也没有特别的回答，但是怎么样就在一边这样身体摇啊摇的状态好，再说继续说再问再继续问就是在这个过程里面，师父怎么样把他这军中十年的问题一股脑的全部对老和尚讲了出来。
So during Shifu's time in the army, he still remembered that he was a monk and he was going, you know, still going return to the temple sometime. So when other officers in the army take a vacation, they will go having some fun, but Shifu would instead go and visit different temples. And in 1958, the Master Yue Ji, the same master that we mentioned earlier, that which saved a lot of refugees during the Nanjing massacre, actually was in Taiwan, and Shifu was visiting him, and also Master, so did the Master Lin Yuan. Because Master Yue Ji knew Shifu was a monk before, so they put Shifu and Master Lin Yuan in the same room to stay for the night. And because Master Lin Yuan didn't lie down for sleep, he meditated through the night. So Shifu can't lie down as well. So Shifu started to ask Master Lin Yuan a lot of questions he had over the 10 years during his army time. Shifu asked a lot of practical questions like, should I get married? Should I continue to become, should I continue to stay in the army, etc. And Master Lin Yuan was like, listening attentively and asking, okay, do you have more? Do you have more? And Shifu will keep asking more and more questions.
就在这样子讲了三个多小时之后，正当师父又要在问问题的时候，老和尚怎么样用力的把这个床板一拍，拍下去之后就放下吧，哪来这么多的问题？所以从此师父的生命就改变了。
So just like that, she kept asking questions, and Master Lin Yuan continued to encouraging Shifu to ask more and more, and they kept going for 3 hours at that night. And then suddenly, when Shifu was going to ask more questions, Master Lin Yuan suddenly hit the board of the bed and said, "Put down. Where do you have so many questions?" And because of that encounter, Shifu's life changed at that moment.
但在实际的身份上，师父想要出家，想要再度的出家，可是怎么样？师父 在这个情报的工作、通信的工作做得非常的优异，所以是军中非常欠缺的人才，所以他无论如何都没有办法顺利的从军中退出来。可是刚好这个时候柯素云女士是东初老和尚的什么亲近弟子，她家就在这个文化馆的对面。那东初老和尚也一直在观察圣严师父，所以呢他有一天问了师父说，你想不想再度出家？那师父说想，可是我不知道怎么做。那柯素云女士的先生是这个国家情报局的局长，郑介民上将，郑介民将军。那透过柯素云女士的帮忙，以郑介民将军的这样的帮忙之下，师父在当兵之后的第十年终于怎么样顺利的退役。那就在师父退役之前的20天这个郑将军因为一些政治事件的因素等等的关系，他舍报了。那在资料上他显示是心脏病，但是他有背后的原因师父也觉得其实非常的可惜但无论如何他是帮助师父能够从军中的身份转换成这个厨艺的一个最重要的人物，所以师父非常诚恳的在知道这个消息之后为他诵经回向。
So, 师父decided to return to the temple and become a monk again. But how could he do that? Because at the time he was an excellent intelligence officer, which was a talent badly needed in the army. So it was almost impossible for him to leave the army and take up the robes again. But it just so happened that Master Dong Chu has a long-time disciple, late disciple, Miss Kerr, that her husband actually works, her husband was high office and the director of the National Intelligence at that time. So Master Dong Chu had been observing Shifu for a long time, and then one day he asked Shifu, do you want to become monk again? And Shifu said yes. So so Master Dong Chu actually asked Miss Ke and his disciple, and Miss Ke asked her husband to help Shifu. So eventually it worked out and Shifu left the army. But the person general who helped Shifu actually because of political reasons died of heart disease. And Shifu was sad and felt was very grateful and earnestly recited sutras to repay his gratitude towards this general.
那师父一出家之后，其实在东初老和尚的身边待了没有很久，师父就决心要什么？要去闭关。那在闭关的时候其实是很不容易的事情，因为闭关代表什么？你要有关房，然后有人长期帮你什么送饭菜这时候在当时的条件是非常的困难的，但无论如何这个浩林老和尚怎么样帮了师父这个忙终于在美浓找到了这一个闭关的场所。找到官房之后，师父去向帮师父受这个沙弥戒的智光老和尚告假，然后就说：“老和尚真感谢我有福报终于这个福报能够什么找到官房，然后安心的闭关原本怎么样觉得这样子很好结果想不到智光老和尚的回答又让师父的观念完全的改变。师父被智光老和尚大声的骂道：“真是颠倒啊！这是别人成就你的因别人成就你闭关的因，并不是你享受什么闭关的果，所以这不是你的福报。”那师父从此怎么样把这句话听进去。那确实所以师父他这一辈子一直讲自己是一个什么没有福报的人。 啊，除了至关牢上的影响之外，他也都是在一路的风雨飘扬里面怎么样，去把最艰难的这个佛法，哦，去把它开创出来。
So, not long after Shifu stayed with Master Dong Chu, he decided to go on a solitary retreat. But it was not easy to go on a solitary retreat because, first of all, he had to find the right place, and someone had to make the offerings so Shifu can have food to eat. So eventually it worked out, and there was Master Haoling helped Shifu find a place in the mountains so Shifu can go on the solitary retreat. So before he went on his solitary retreat, he went to say goodbye to Master Zhi Guang, he was telling Master Zhi Guang, and he felt he was very fortunate. This is his good blessing that he could find such a good location to go on the solitary retreat. At that time, Master Zhi Guang scolded Shifu, saying, What an upside down review. This is not a good blessing for yourself. This is actually a good cause or seed planted by other people. How can you say this is your own good blessing? Master Zhi Guang's words greatly touched Shifu. Shifu no longer say he has good blessings afterwards.
好，那在师父闭关的这个后期一直收到这个消息，那觉得能够到日本去取得学位势必能够怎么样把这样的一个完整的佛教教育跟思想重新的带回到台湾来，所以这是一个大愿。可这个过程非常的艰辛，因为在当时有机会到日本留学的法师绝大多数都因为这样的一个环境，后来从出家人的身份转变成在家人，所以等到师父决定要去的时候，又遭受到更多的阻力，希望怎么样，师父不要去。
So after 师父 completed his solitary retreat in the mountains, he decided to pursue advanced Buddhist studies in in Japan. At that time, most monks who went to pursue advanced studies in Japan eventually become disrobed. So people quite disapprove this approach, and a lot of people don't want Shifu to go. So Shifu encountered obstacles again for this choice.
但当师父取到了这个博士学位回来之后，那四处去找居士，去找这个大德，去祈请他们能够有机会在台湾开始创办这个佛学院。可是在当时候这样的一个思想是非常非常先潮的，所以师父他形容他自己，他好不容易怎么样考到了驾照，可是什么没有车可以让他开。也因为这个因缘怎么样，师父又来到了西方。
So after Shifu completed his doctorate studies in Japan, he wanted to build a Buddhist university and to educate monastics. But at that time, this is quite a novel concept, and not many people welcomed this idea. So Shifu felt as if he just had the driver license, but there was no car to drive around. So because of these cosmic conditions, Shifu decided to go to America.
那在40年前的春天就在这个大觉寺师父进驻了。那进驻之后呢师父那时候的英文还是不可以的。但是有两个西方人，一个叫 Frank， 一个叫 Peter 呢，就 call 敲敲大觉寺的门，然后这个时候师父自己亲自开门。那这两个来大觉寺其实不是来拜观世音菩萨的，而是什么？希望找一个 master， 功夫 master。师父怎么回答呢？师父说我会功夫，但是呢，我要教你更重要的东西，叫做 meditation。那答应完之后，师父发现怎么样？ 他的语言能力啊没有办法直接啊去上英文的这个禅训班。可是就在同时怎么样哦，王明仪菩萨因为读书读到太用功了，头非常的痛啊，所以王明仪的妈妈老菩萨带着他来大觉寺怎么样，也拜观音啊，拜观音之后就被师父发现这是一位什么啊最好的翻译人才，所以师父是先答应开禅训班之后才开始找翻译的。
So about the one of the spring, about 4 years ago, in the spring, Shifu came to the United States and stayed in the Temple of Great Enlightenment in Bronx. At that time, Shifu's English was quite limited. But there was two Westerners knocked on the door of the temple one day. They are Frank and Peter. They came to the temple not for, seeking Dharma, Buddha Dharma. They actually came for seeking Chinese masters who can teach them Kung Fu, Chinese Kung Fu. So what did Shifu answer? Shifu said, yeah, I know Chinese Kung Fu. But before that, I'm going to teach you something more important. What is that? Meditation. So after Shifu promised to give them meditation class, he realized actually his English wasn't good enough to give them instructions. So what's going to happen? Well, at that time, there's a person called Wang Mingyi. He's a young man. And this young man, because he studied so hard, he had a headache. And his mother decided to take him to visit temple and do some prostrations and wishing good for his headache. And then Shifu talked to him and realized, wow, what a great translator Wang Mingyi could be. So after Shifu decided to teach meditation, and then he found the perfect translator for himself.
那有这在因缘的流转之下，师父也在美国开办了第一期的这一个禅期，那从此跟禅修结下了不解之缘。在座有没有人认识这个 Buffy？ 这张相片的这一位就是 Buffy。
So Shifu led the first 7-day intensive Chan retreat in the Temple of Great Enlightenment and. Starting from there, Shifu became a great master. Anyone who know Buffy, DDRC, this picture shows when she was young, when she was at that time, joined Shifu's first 7-day intensive retreat.
那以后有机会见到 Buffy 的时候，千万不要说你年轻的时候好漂亮。
And when you see Buffy again in DDRC, please don't say, you look really nice. When 40 years ago.
哦，那因缘的流转让师父在美国怎么样能够一路的向前，可是事实上也遇到的挫折我想在座跟师父比较久的会知道最早的东初禅是什么是在对角，然后大家非常辛苦努力之后开始有了男众的弟子女众的弟子，可是太辛苦了不到两三年他们又离开，一直到这个什么1985年的时候谁出现了果缘法师出现了才让东初的整个人事安定下来。
So afterwards, you know, the rest really is a history. And if you have been long time disciple, followers of Master Qingyan, you know that Shifu went on to lead more retreats and eventually got the place across the street and established a Chan Meditation Center. And Shifu went through a lot of hardship. And because it was so hard in the beginning, people came and go. People came and went. So not until 1985, the Chan Meditation was really established. And then, what happened during that time? Who came up? Who showed up? it's Master Venerable Guo Yuan showed up.
回想起来哦，三十年前的今天，我们有了现在正在改建的这个东初。那三十年之后的今天，东初还在改建。这是当时候三十年前的东初的里面的情况。那这一位是 Nancy 师父的老师。然后记得东初的玻璃墙吗？这像一砖一瓦的这样租上来的。那三十年后他又再次围成这个样子。那我们的因缘就讲到三十年后的今天。
So causes and conditions are incredible. The picture showed 30 years ago, there was construction going on for the Chan Meditation Center. And it's, you know, all put together by volunteers, every brick, every glass. Now 30 years later, the Chan Meditation Center again is going under constructions. So that's the causes conditions.
所以今天的主题，其实我们从师父的故事了解到广结善缘。师父的这个一生的重要的变化，都是在广结善缘的情况底下，产生了这个不可思议的一个因缘。那另外一个是什么？安忍。好的东西值得等待。
So that just brings us back to 30 years later. Nowadays, you know, CMC is under constructions again. And from Shiv's life stories, there's really a lot of learnings we can, a few points we can learn from Shifu. One thing is make good affinity, good connections with people all the time. And inconceivable results will come out.And also another thing is patience. Good things worth waiting.
好，那今天的讲题，因为时间的关系，我们是很快速的把师父的这个小时候回顾了一遍。那当然，您大家有兴趣的话，可以去看师父的什么雪中足迹，还有归程，还有什么学识历程以及七十年谱。
So limited to time, this is just this talk is just a quick review of Shifu's lifetime, life stories. If you're interested, please refer to the four books I mentioned earlier in the talk and to read more about Shifu's life.
好，今天的讲座就到这边，感谢大家，阿弥陀佛。
Okay, that's it for today. Thank you again for coming.
好，可以。请说。
Okay, we still have time for a Q&A, so if you have questions, please let us know.
When is the new center going to be
ready? Just waiting. Yes.
So Robert 菩萨问题是新的，我们新禅中心什么时候可以造好？答案就是我们现在正在等待。
好，还有其他的问题吗？
Any other questions?
In new center, is there the Shifu's room where he slept and where he worked? Is that being?
I'm not sure, actually. Yeah.
然后 Robert 的菩萨问题是在新的新建禅中心，师父曾经住过的那个房间会不会被保留下来？不太确定。
应该可以问禅华法师，应该是有肯定的答案。还有其他问题吗
？Venerable 禅华 might know. She probably will have more details. Any other questions?
这是谁？果圣法师。
Which one?
师父旁边的这一位。
Oh.
Yeah. 然后这是果华菩萨。
So, Fashu was pointing out the lady up front, the front row, Venerable Guo Sheng at that time.
And 这是 Amy 菩萨。
Which one? Oh.
Oh, 那最后跟大家讲一个故事哦。这是国文法师跟我分享的。我记得在也是三四十年前，然后这个慈济宗格会正在这个草创时期。那当时候我们知道佛教徒跟寺院之间彼此多半都会有一些相互往来。那山上就有一些信众跟师父讲说，诶，我们现在好像有一些信徒跑去这个慈济功德会。那师父听了之后其实只是讲说，因为他们正在成立，那他们有需要，所以如果你们想要去帮忙那是没有问题的。这是师父当时候的一个回应。这一谈到就是说，我们佛教徒的这种心量其实不一定要去局限什么师父曾经在法鼓山成立之后告诉我们，我们不要一直讲什么我们是法鼓人，然后你们是慈济人，然后你们是什么什么什么这样。其实在佛陀时代有分这么多的宗派吗？没有，大家就是受持三皈五戒的佛教徒，皈依佛、皈依法、皈依僧，非常的简单。所以佛教因为这样能够去壮大也提醒到我们不要因为什么门户之见反而什么把自己的路走小了。
So in the end, I want to share a story with you, which I heard from Venerable Guo Yuan. This is a picture where you can see Shifu was talking to the founder of Ciji Foundation, Ciji Buddhist Organization. So at that time, Ciji was in the founding stage, and some people, some followers of Shifu went to support Ciji. And Shifu said that was quite okay because they are in the beginning stage, they need help. And if you want to help them, definitely go there. And that just shows Shifu's attitude and his the compassion, the mind. Because Shifu said in Buddha's time, even though there are different schools, they don't emphasize you come from different background. Instead, we are all Buddhists and we all share take three refuge and five precepts. That's the common that we share.
这一张相片是在这个921大地震的时候。圣严师父也去921大殿，是2001年还是1999年？对，2001年。那在大地震的时候师父去巡视，然后刚好慈济的这个正言法师也去巡视，那两个人再次的碰面。所以这一次这再次的呼应，其实我们佛教徒广结善缘非常的重要所以一直提醒我们自己，未成佛道之前要做什么事情？广结善缘这是最重要的事情。师父这一辈子也因为这样的视线一直不断的结缘，然后怎么样促成善缘，法鼓山才在这样非常艰难的状态底下一步一步一步的走出来。
So this picture actually was taken during the time of the big earthquake in Taiwan happened in 2001, the so-called September 21st earthquake. So at that time, Ciji, the founder of Ciji, Zheng Yan Shangren, also went there, Shifu all went there, and that's the picture was taken from there. So this just illustrates again that we need to make a good affinity with all sentient beings as much as possible. Because of that attitude, because of this approach, Shifu led the Damajong Mountain through a lot of hardship and was able to build the Damajong Mountain.
好，还有问题吗？
Any other questions?
好，没有的话，最后我讲一个。这张相片是在2008年的这个 春天，那是圣严师父最后一次进到禅堂。那当时候师父对在场的这个社会精英，美国这里称为360度，那在台湾称为社会精英，所做的开示是这几天害病很辛苦，那这个身体非常的痒，因为洗身的关系非常的痒，然后睡不着，那师父讲这些状况，然后结果师父这样讲之后，师父的侍者长愿法师这一位比较高的这一位就跟师父说，师父那你要参话头啊，然后师父你要修末照啊，然后师父就说，对，我的弟子教我参话头修末照，可是如果你们有我现在的这个身心的状况，身体是这么不舒服的时候，你的参话头会不会有力量啊？你的末照默不默得起来？我过去在台湾举这个例的时候，菩萨们很惊讶，如果连师父在这个状况都不能用末照，也不能用话头，那怎么办？
So in the end, I want to share another story. This picture was taken in the spring of 2008. This was the last time Shifu gave a talk in the Chan Hall. That was during the retreat for the elite class in the United States. We call the 360 retreat. At that time, Shifu was quite ill, and the whole body was quite itchy. And he said he couldn't sleep at night either.And the monastic, the tall monk behind Master Chang, who was the Venerable Chang, who was Shifu's disciple, and was attending Shifu attendant, and he said, "Well, Shifu, you should use Hua Tou method and use silent illumination method." And Shifu was nodding, saying, "Yes, yes." My disciple was telling me to use Hua Tou method and silent illumination method. But if you were in my condition, health conditions right now, I don't know if you would still be able to use Hua Tou or silent illumination." And when I shared this story to people in Taiwan, people were quite astonished.
师父说在你什么时候都用不放什么方法都用不上的时候其实还有一个方法就是念观世音菩萨因为我是佛教徒从来不会怎么样离开观世音菩萨，所以当话头的方法用不上，当末照的方法用不上的时候，你还可以把心交给观世音菩萨。所以师父就是怎么样在什么方法都用不上的时候还能用上观世音菩萨。
So Shifu said, when you're in a position, when you're in a condition that you can't, you find it's very difficult to use Hua Tou method or silent illumination method, there's still one method you can rely on, that is chanting the name of Guanyin Bodhisattva. So,when it's hard to use any other method, you can always rest your mind on reciting Guanyin Bodhisattva's name.
好，最后就用这个祝福大家学观音做观音的这一段话希望大家怎么样在观音道场里面处处观音菩萨，声声阿弥陀佛。
So in the end, I bless everyone that in this Guanyin Bodhisattva's temple that we will always learn from Guanyin Bodhisattva, recite her name all the time.